Thanks for listening to the Lakers Fast Break Podcast, part of the Hoopheads Podcast Network. Check out all their awesome basketball shows today at hoopheadspod.com. Back for another episode of the Lakers Fast Break Podcast. It's Gerald Glasser coming right back at you here from Lakers Fast Break, Pop Culture Cosmos, Inside Sports Fantasy Football, and Game Source. We truly appreciate everyone out there listening to all of our shows. And if you can, please give us a 5-star review on Apple Podcasts. Plus, if you can like, share, subscribe, follow, or do anything that you can to support us right here at the Lakers Fast Break, Basketball University on Medium.com. Lakerholics.com, and the Hoopheads Podcast Network, it is truly appreciated. Well, guys, it's great to have you here. Everybody else that's watching and listening, thank you so much for doing so on 4th of July weekend. I hope you are safe. Hope you're having fun, a good time. Check out the fireworks later on this evening, but there's still plenty of fireworks left in the NBA because it is almost that time. The finals, where the Lakers should be at, unfortunately are not, and I'm going to keep rubbing that in, because we should be there, ahead of the Suns, but the Suns are going in on Tuesday, game one of the finals against Milwaukee Bucks. That game is going to be set for you right there this week. It is going to start the NBA Finals, and we're going to be talking about that today, along with the Olympic team, Dennis Schroeder, and Scottie Brooks. An interesting combination today, but here today with me, guys, is going to be a great guest list, as always, from the Lakerholics.com crew. Of course, you have Mr. Jamie Sweet, Five Things, who is actually shown up again because, you know, he's not driving this time. He's actually stationary, so he's here today. Laker Tom is here as well, but also Spencer Young from Basketball-University. Guys, it is the NBA Finals. The Lakers should be there, but need I digress? I'm going to start with you, Jamie, since you came first. Your thoughts on the NBA Finals, and we'll go into a prediction at the very end with all three of you.
Okay, I mean, it's the NBA Finals. Literally nobody predicted. Zero predictions from any people out there that was Bucks Suns, baby. Bucks Suns. Two of the healthier teams. It's going to be entertaining. It's
going to
be a lot of fun. I'm excited.
Well, let's hope so. One of the concerns I'm sure the NBA had was, you know, when they every year that they do this is, are they going to be large enough markets that are going to just transcend through the entire country and through the entire world? People going to latch on to it? Spencer, I'm going to go with you next, my friend. Great to have you here. Your thoughts on the finals? I know it's not – I don't want to say it's Adam Silver's nightmare. But having two small market teams, smaller market teams that are out there, this is going to be something that they can never take back. And the reason why I say that is because now those arguments year after year, well, the smaller market teams can't compete. Well, guess what? You have two smaller market teams. They're competing, and they're going at the NBA Finals.
Well, yeah, I mean, I still think it'll be a good viewing experience. You know, like throughout the playoffs, Phoenix and Milwaukee have had, I think, like full capacity crowds. So, I mean, you contrast like the Clippers were having cutout fans until like game six of the semifinals. So, you know, I think the atmosphere will be fine. And as far as like people who predicted the Bucks and Suns, I mean, I personally didn't think that would be the case, but I mean, Phoenix was a really good team throughout the regular season. I think Milwaukee really positioned themselves for playoff success this year. It's not all that surprising.
Well, to me, again, it comes down to the fact that both teams were relatively healthy throughout the entire season. With the Bucks, of course, a lot lies on the health of Giannis Antetokounmpo. and the dynamic that he can bring, if that will be enough to go ahead and get them by the Phoenix Suns, we'll have to wait and see, and we'll have our predictions here in a moment. But it is something we're going to be watching regardless, because we're basketball fans. I don't know how many people will be watching as Laker Tom is coming up next, but Laker Tom, the man behind Lakerholics.com, I ask you this. I mean, we're going to be watching as Lakers fans. We're going to be watching as NBA fans, but really, it doesn't seem to have that same magic and panache as maybe another year, a normal year may have.
Well, I don't think it's a normal year. I think that's the whole upshot of the situation. We've gone through two COVID-influenced NBA seasons that are the kind of seasons that I hope we'll never see again. I mean, we first had the bubble championship, which the Lakers came through and won in great style. Now we've got the last man standing championships, which the Phoenix Suns look like they're, you know, they have a good shot at being the last team standing. I was actually surprised to hear that the Suns were actually slight favorites in the series. Obviously, probably taking into account questions about whether Giannis was going to be available and so forth. Both teams have been involved in some of the most exciting games that we've seen so far in the playoffs. I haven't heard any news of what the most recent ratings were, but the earlier ratings really looked pretty substantial for the league. So I'm hoping from the standpoint of the players and the NBA and basketball fans everywhere that we see a good resounding heavy crowds watching the games and streaming the action on the other sources. I have to admit that I did not watch game five of the Bucks and the Hawks series simply because the superstars weren't available in that game. And I probably had the sound turned off and was reading a book while I was watching game six. So if my wife says, you know, hey, there's a movie I want to watch, you know, I probably wouldn't argue too hard against letting her watch the movie. And she always claims that I never give up the remote control. So, you know, there are times when you have to, pick what's more important.
Here's a thought. Buy another TV.
Oh, but then I couldn't watch it with my wife, you know. I like to watch the basketball games with my wife.
Phoenix and Milwaukee, it is going to be simply a very competitive NBA Finals. I think it's going to be coming down to a 6 or 7-game series. I don't think it's going to be a blowout by any stretch of the imagination. But I ask you this. And we'll start off with you, Jamie, your finals prediction, your NBA finals prediction when it comes down to it. Who do you have for the victor?
If Giannis plays, I'm saying Bucks in six.
You can't have confirmed. You got to.
No more if-ifs.
No qualifiers, man.
Bucks in six. Come on. Bucks in six.
Bucks in six. Okay. Spencer, who do you have?
I think I'll say Suns in seven, but the two there's like two major caveats with, I don't know if Giannis, like when he's coming back. And also apparently Chris Paul has torn ligaments in his hands, which I just learned about. So that's,
yeah, he mentioned that. Yeah. That he has some time off to help heal his hand, but that's the kind of thing that's going to take a long time in healing. He scored 41 points. So, you know, it must
can't
not
hurt be that bad.
Yeah, can't hurt that bad.
Well, and then Devin Booker has a broken nose that's not going to heal until after the playoffs. And he hasn't played well, I don't think, since he broke his nose. So I guess we'll see.
We'll see. But, you know, it's all about stepping up to that grand stage of the finals. I think that, you know, who is going to step up? Because nobody really has NBA finals experience among these two teams outside of Jay Crowder. And, you know, it's just, to me, it just seems like one of these two teams is going to have to step up to play, or one of these players is going to have to go ahead and make a finals experience like none other for themselves. So, Laker Tom, you've heard the prediction so far. Your thoughts on the series between Phoenix and Milwaukee?
I'm going to say the Suns in seven, like Spencer. I think that's a good handle on it. I think one of the things that's really been interesting to me is the effect of having three superstars. We saw the Bucks even being able to become competitive simply because they had three superstars. So if they only had one and a half of them on the court, that's still more than one superstar. And I think we saw a very good performance by the Milwaukee Bucks with Giannis out, because they basically, you can really tell there the effect that having gone off season and brought in Drew Holiday had on that team, giving them three stars. And when you lose one of those three stars, like they did with Giannis, the other two stars really can step up, along with some role players like Brooke Lopez having an outstanding game, couple of games there. So I still think it's going to be a really tough series for the Bucks, even if they get Giannis back. If they don't get him back, I still think they can be competitive with Phoenix because of having three stars and having two guys that are really important, especially when you look at the matchups. Because obviously Drew Holiday is probably going to hound Booker and give him the same type of treatment that Patrick Beverley did, hopefully in a more sportsmanlike approach than Beverley is capable of. But it looks to me like a pretty well-matched series, maybe with Giannis coming back in games, you know, 5 and 6 and maybe game 7, something like that. But I like the Suns. I like the way that they have come through. I thought that their team has responded extremely well. The fact that they were able to put the Clippers down in 6, the Lakers down in 6, I think they swept the Nuggets. So that's a pretty good statement of how the team can play. I think that they're going to prevail, but it's going to be an entertaining series. And hopefully we'll see everybody watch all 7 games.
Well, we'll see what the ratings say. Again, these are two small market teams. Oh, there you go. Jamie's saying 6 right there for you. But I've been wishy-washy.
The wrong team and the wrong count, Jamie.
I've been wishy-washy on this because I've been going back and forth, even while you guys are talking to me, because this is very close. I don't have a definitive answer either which way.
I wouldn't put
money on it personally. If I'm here in Vegas and I'm not putting money on this series, I would not put money on this series. So
money on anything. It's the only way you can live in Vegas.
Well, you know, this town wasn't built on winners, that's for sure.
Well, so, yeah. I was going to say losers.
It's built on a lot of losers. Yep, and I'm not one of them here, thank goodness. But I do put money every now and then, and I do win. I usually put it on sure things. Sure, right, yeah. But I tell you what.
How much did you have on the Lakers this year?
Well, nobody bets on the Lakers here because too many people come up from Los Angeles like Jamie, and they put money on it, and it spikes the actual odds so that the Lakers can never get good odds on anything. So there you go. It's one thing you learn here in Vegas is you don't bet on the Lakers because the odds stink. Because, again, people like Jamie come up from Los Angeles and they spike it. But, again, my prediction is I think I'm going to go with Milwaukee in 6. I think they just have too much firepower as far as for a roster is concerned. I have no faith in Phoenix. I think they got lucky to get by the Lakers.
Spencer and I will have marked that down.
Yeah, so, you know, I think they got by each and every time. They've had luck. They've had a great amount of luck, and that's something you need in your championship season. So I wouldn't be surprised. I think it's going to be the Bucks in 6, but Phoenix could take it. I'm not confident on either team. But for me, Phoenix has been very fortunate that they've had 3 successive rounds with dealing with teams with major injuries. And I think all 3 of these teams would have been much more competitive. And in the case of the Clippers and Lakers, would have beaten the Suns if both teams were healthy. So I think if that's the case, then for me, Milwaukee also has had that same kind of luck, especially against Brooklyn. But I think they're more competitive team in the East as far as it's concerned in regards to who they match up with. And I think if Giannis Antetokounmpo comes back, which I think he's probably going to, I'm not sure if it's a game 1 deal. I'm saying maybe game 2 or 3. I'm going to say right now that Milwaukee's going to squeak it out. But again, I'm not too high. I'm not too confident on it. And we'll see. We'll go from there. But I'll say 6 games.
This is Raphael from NBADraftJunkies.com. And you are listening to the Lakers Fast Break.
I know you've been hearing about Manscaped on all those other programs and podcasts. Well, Manscaped and the Hoopheads Podcast Network are working together on something fantastic. And oh my goodness, have we got a deal for you. Manscaped.com has just released their wireless, waterproof, and rechargeable Lawnmower 4.0, which offers their trademark skin-safe replaceable blades that gets you the ultra-close shave exactly where you need it. Head on over to manscaped.com and choose from the huge list of men's grooming and lifestyle products, including the ultra-popular Lawnmower 4.0 body groomer, and get 20% off at Manscaped, plus free shipping with the promo code FASTBREAK at manscaped.com. That's right, just type in FASTBREAK, all one word at checkout, at Manscaped, and get ready to start looking good this summer from your friends at Manscaped, the Hoopheads Podcast Network, and the Lakers Fast Break Podcast.
There's another factor involved in this series, which is there's an argument to be made that it's a small sample size, I do admit, but that the Bucks might be better without Giannis because they have more shooting. Just a thought.
I'm not in love with Giannis Antetokounmpo as far as the game is concerned. He's one of the, how should I say, very complex superstars that have played the game at a modern level because he can't shoot threes well, he can't shoot free throws well, and he still is able to go ahead and score and do the things that he does. As far as his style of play, comparative to what you're supposed to be, the way you're supposed to be playing that's successful in today's age. So it's very interesting to see that dynamic.
It's not a complete negative that he's not playing, is what I'm saying.
No, yeah, and I get you.
There's something to that. There's something to the style of play that we saw with them going inside with Brook Lopez, but having the outside shooting that created much better spacing than when they had Giannis in the game.
Yeah. And to me, it's just something. He has a different dynamic that he brings to Milwaukee, but I don't know what. It's so weird. Like you said, they sometimes play more efficiently when he's not in the lineup because his game is not suited to the pace and space 100% because he has such a different dynamic. I mean, if he's not going downhill, he's not doing his spin moves, how effective is he? But that yet he still managed to fill up the box score regardless. So.
Right.
He's the Russell Westbrook of forwards.
Yeah,
it's actually a good analogy, Jamie. I like that.
Yeah, except
He can still win you games big time, but at the same token, there's a price for having a player who plays that style that he does.
And then also, Chris Middleton has been a great part of it because the fact that even though he's not a traditional superstar as himself, he's like an excellent shooting all-star, in my opinion, but he is the guy they go to in the clutch each and every time out. They don't go to Giannis. Giannis, like, the first three and a half quarters for them, and then they ask Middleton to do all the heavy work in the last quarter and the last half, the last part of the couple minutes. So, yeah, it's kind of that weird dynamic that he brings, but I'm still picking Milwaukee in six, whether or not they have Giannis or not. I'm not loving the pick, Jamie. But I'm gonna say, you know, all right, there you go. Maybe. Next week when they win, if Phoenix wins, I'm gonna say Phoenix won. You know, I knew it all the time. I knew it all the time. There you go.
Well, it's awful hard to do that when you got yourself on video. Milwaukee in six.
You know, there are other individuals out there that do that all the time. So, no, I'm kidding. I actually won't go back on my statement. I'll say Milwaukee in six. But if you guys have thoughts out there on the series, please let us know. Social media, Lakers Fast Break. Everybody out there, please, if you get a chance, we'd love to hear from you at Lakers Fast Break or Lakerholics.com. What are your thoughts on the NBA Finals? Go ahead and let Laker Tom know. Go ahead and let Jamie know. Go ahead and let Spencer know on basketball-university@medium.com. But guys, there's still so much more to talk about on today's show. The Olympic team was announced recently, and LeBron, by all indications, according to Jerry Colangelo, and yes, there's still a Colangelo involved in basketball in America. That's very amusing. But yes, Jerry Colangelo of USA Basketball announced that he's essentially retired, even though LeBron hasn't said it. LeBron has been all over. Made appearances at WNBA games. He's made appearances all over. doing his Space Jam thing. So he hasn't said anything in regards to that. Maybe we'll get a clarification of that maybe in the weeks going forward. But the Olympics are coming to Tokyo in the not too distant future. So Spencer, I'm going to start with you, my friend. The actual Olympic team was announced. And here we go. Bam Adebayo, Bradley Beal, Devin Booker, Kevin Durant, Jeremy Grant, Draymond Green, Drew Holiday, Zach LaVine, Damian Lillard, Kevin Love, Chris Middleton, and Jason Tatum. That's your team. Couple controversies came from it, but your thoughts on the team itself, do you think this is a team that is a sure thing for a gold medal?
I'll go ahead and say yes. I mean, it's a really talented roster. Obviously, they're just a little bit light on experience, I think. But, I mean, the 2016 team was a close call, and they still won gold. So I think it's safe to say they'll win a gold medal.
I think it's also a talented team. I'm not convinced that it's a gold medal team, but we'll see. It depends on if everybody has their heart in it or if they're just going over there for a workout. So we'll see. I know that Chris Middleton will be a little bit fatigued. So will Devin Booker, you know, the status with his nose. So we'll see what happens there. Laker Tom, you've read the roster of the team. I know Kevin Love stands out for altogether different reasons. I've heard the word sore thumb. I've heard the word he's in there because he's a white guy. I've heard he's in there for a lot of other reasons. I'm personally not in love with the fact that he's in there. I think there could have been a spot better used by a more talented, younger talent that they could have approached personally. I thought that was something that I think was a miss for them, especially after his demonstration that he pulled off that almost got him the Shaqt and the Fool for this year. If everybody remembers what he did, they could just go ahead and go to Twitter or Google it about his lack of affirmation in the Cleveland Cavs team. But I want to hear your thoughts. Is this a team that you think is qualified to go ahead and get a gold medal this year?
I think they're going to have some competition. I mean, the Canadians have one hell of a team too.
Very strong.
They got eight or nine NBA players on that team. So, and then also too, I think that you don't know whether it's COVID, the after effect of the last two playoffs that we've been involved in and all of the management and injury stuff that's going on. But you almost get a feeling that the league is on the verge of a giant transformation where a whole bunch of the old stars are going to disappear and a whole bunch of new stars are going to take over. It's going to be interesting to see whether teams like the Lakers, the Clippers, and the Nets can reverse this sort of rise we have of the young players in the league, because you just don't expect a guy in a third year like Trae Young is to come up and play the way that he has. And we've seen teams that are unexpected being in the finals the last 2 years. So there is a point in time when all of a sudden we're not going to have LeBron James and Kevin Durant and Steph Curry around anymore, and James Harden and those guys. And, you know, I think it's coming faster than most of us would like to see it come, especially fans of those three teams who have the old time superstars who can be involved in the discussions of who's the GOAT and basically are, you know, our legends that we're watching play and maybe watching their last few years to play. So I don't think it's a sure lock for a gold just simply because of the nature of this is the Olympics that still are a lot of questions about, you know, whether some parts of the world are safe. There's a lot of questions about Japan itself, you know. So I don't know. I think that we're going to see a very erratic and a very unexpected results from a lot of the teams that are in the situation. And as we've seen the trend go from the last 20, 30 years, the international teams and the international players are becoming better and better. You know, this is not America's game only anymore. And I think Canada could be the biggest threat that the American team will have. I don't, you know, it'll be interesting to see how all of the events go and what concessions they make to the public health situations in the countries that are competing and so forth, and who's going to actually show up. When you think about the fact that we just had a lot of injuries in the NBA, I was actually surprised at the number of players who did step up and say that I'm going to play for Team USA. But at the same token, a lot of those games tend to be exhibition games, if you will, because some of the teams that we're going to play in the early rounds really aren't competitive with a team full of NBA players. On the other hand, you just hope nobody gets injured.
Well, let me ask you this. Who did you say would be very competitive with the United States team? Who did you say?
Canada.
Spencer brought it to our attention that Canada is eliminated from this year's Olympics.
Oh, they are?
Yeah.
Because of the border situation thing again?
No.
They lost in a qualifier in November.
That's right. They had the qualifiers.
Yes.
Hmm.
So there goes that one out the window. So.
Yep. Sorry about that.
But there's always a team or two that surprises. Remember the year Brazil surprised everybody? Remember the year that Spain with the Casal brothers surprised so many people? So there could be
the year the Russians surprised everybody.
Shout out to our friends in Russia and Ukraine that actually check out this show in large numbers. So we truly appreciate it. But still, that was a hot point, I think, for USA basketball. And maybe we need that if we go there and we pull up and get fourth or a fifth or something when we go there. Maybe we need that kind of shot in the arm. It seems like whenever we have those disappointing outings, like in the World Championships, I think we finished like sixth or something. And yeah, that just gives you a shot in the arm because we do get very conceited, Jamie, and you're coming up next. We do get very conceited as far as where we're at with basketball because of, how it was invented and invented by a Canadian. Everybody needs to know, by James Naismith, if they look that up. But yeah, I know where it was created.
Invented in the United States, though.
Yes, I was in the United States, but by a Canadian. So it's kind of like half and half. So when you look at it, but again, we get into a certain level of error in regards to our American basketball. We know exactly, how well we are in the pantheon, and sometimes we take it too much. We've become very conceited about it. We think we could just roll any team out there and just roll a basketball out there and we're good. I think international play is very different, and sometimes we don't adapt to it well, and sometimes we struggle even with more talented teams than we should. But Jamie, I want to hear your thoughts. Is this team, the way it's perceived, the way it rolls out there, the team that you want to go ahead and think that we'll take it all in the gold medal games, in the Olympic Games in Tokyo?
I mean, I think they got a pretty good shot. We got a lot of talent on that team, a lot of guys who can score. Oddly enough, what it comes down to in these international competitions that I think the American team struggle with is just a lack of foundational basketball. You know, all these guys have been designed and designed their games around playing the NBA game, which is not the international game. The international game is a lot more team-oriented. Rules are a little bit different, and the three-pointer is a big part of it, but it's not not to the level that it is in the modern NBA game.
Now, sometimes they throw out teams out there that are just so talented, like the LeBron, Carmelo Anthony teams, or the Dream teams that are just going to blow away anybody. But it's those teams that are on a lower level, that are on a closer level to the rest of the world. I think those teams always seem to struggle with the international game.
The way I look at it is, how many max contract guys are playing for the Olympic team this year? This year, only a couple. So that's always the qualifier. This team, I think, we could be in the same sort of range as that Iverson. I can't remember which team it was that didn't medal. That was before LeBron played in the Olympics, I think. I think it was before LeBron played in the Olympics. And then there was one before Kobe came to the Olympics where we didn't win at all, but we still medaled. And then I think Kobe Bryant had enough of that. It's going to be interesting. I think it's going to be more competitive than people expect. You know, Slovenia just won behind some brilliant play by Luka. So there's, the game of basketball, like Eva said, has become a lot more international than it was in the 80s when the Dream Team rampaged through everybody, lapping teams over the course of the game. And that's not going to happen anymore.
Not the Globetrotters anymore.
No, that's... This is going to be
in the Washington Generals.
Right, right. Which I love that they've asked to be instated as an NBA team.
It's not Charles Barkley trying to punch out Angola again.
Right. So. Like, these things aren't going to happen. And I will argue that that Dream Team team had not just great superstars, but all of those guys played great fundamental basketball, had great foundational skills that you just don't have in the modern game. Not to the same level. You don't get the basics drilled into your head, drilled into your body in the same way that it was 10, 15, 20, 30 years ago. That's an area where we have a deficit. And in some ways, I kind of feel like, you know, a lot of these guys just go to Pop 101. They want to get some Greg Popovich instructional videos in their portfolio so that they can learn some new things about how the game is played at an intellectual level. I mean, I think we're going to medal. I think that Germany's going to be a problem. A lot of good guys on the Germany team. They're very athletic. Schroeder's going to be looking to prove that he's, which might be a next segue into your next segment.
His last chance to last show something before he gets a salary.
That's right. This is it. You know, you win a gold medal for Germany, and suddenly that $100 million, $125 million contract looks a little more palatable. You know, if you go 20 and 10 with hardly any turnovers, people are going to be like, oh, well, look what he did in the Olympics. I don't see it personally still. Even if he drops 30 and 30 every game in the Olympics, I'm going to be like, nah, that's fool's gold, man. But whoever gets him, enjoy. And if it's us, we'll have to work with it.
We're signaling the ref for a quick timeout, but we'll be back with more of the Lakers Fast Break Podcast.
Hey, hoopheads, we all hate ankle sprains, and they happen way too often. Ankle injuries are the number one sports-related injury. Arise is trying to change that. With the iFast, your athletes get preventative protection and full mobility. Athletes no longer need to wear bulky braces that limit performance and give mediocre protection. Anyone playing sports should be using these products. Keep your athletes in the game. Don't wait for them to get hurt to take action. Visit www.arise.com, spelled A-R-Y-S-E, and use the code HOOPHEADS to get 20% off the future of performance. That's A-R-Y-S-E.com with promo code HOOPHEADS to get 20% off.
Spencer, I want to ask you this. Again, I think it's a very good team. I think it's it got players even down to the 10th, 11th guys, like when you're coming down to the last end of the roster, the guys like Jeremy Grant, who had such a sensational season for Detroit and who was a very solid player for the Denver rotation. So I don't have a problem with him. Plus, he plays outstanding defense. I know you can tell on Detroit because it's Detroit, but I remember the series against LeBron where he was really matched up as probably as well as you can play against LeBron. But the name Kevin Love still sticks out there like a sore thumb. And the reason why I brought him back, it's not the diversity issue of it all, because I think that also speaks for itself. And I think, again, just having him there is a poor choice after what he demonstrated during the course of the season. But to me, I thought a better fit is somebody that Laker Tom would like to see on the Lakers, and that is Miles Turner. I think him would have been a very good piece to add on. But outside of, let's take Kevin Love off the team. Okay, let's say we're Jerry Colangelo.
They needed another center, though.
He's not a center.
They only have Abadayo as the only other center on the team.
He's not a center, though. That's what I'm saying.
They're both small ball. They're both small ball five.
That's why I was saying Miles Turner would have been a much better choice, the defensive and also for stretch reasons. But
right.
I think he shoots better than Kevin Love at this point in time at the three, unless Kevin Love finds a fountain of youth sometime soon.
Right.
But Spencer, I want to hear your thoughts. Is Kevin Love the right answer in the Olympic team? And if not, who would you have chosen?
Well, okay. I mean, part of Kevin Love being on the team is that he's been on Team USA before.
I know that. Yeah, but you know, there's also optics, my friend. In the age of Twitter, there's also optics.
Yeah, I mean, okay, if you're taking him as the last guy, I think it's like the last guy on the roster.
The Christian Laettner.
Semantics. And, I mean, yeah, sure, I'd take Miles Turner, but if you're talking about the last guy on the roster, I think it's fine. I guess some Lakers related news. He's rooming with Kevin Durant, and if he gets bought out, he's his top choice is the Nets. So that's interesting. Yeah, I think overall, though, Team USA upgraded talent-wise from when we last saw them, I think at FIBA, it is. That's the international competition, because the team that competed in FIBA, I think their best three players were like the best three players on the Boston Celtics. So Kemba Walker back then, a young Jaylen Brown before he scores 25 points a game, and Jason Tatum before he became an All-NBA player. So I think you compare that to now, you have an All-NBA Jason Tatum, you have Devin Booker, you have Kevin Durant, you go on and on. Definitely upgraded in talent.
They always do. Miraculously, they always bring out some extra players that didn't compete at the other tournaments, and you know, we managed to go ahead and do that. And I'm very thankful for it, and I'm very hopeful that this U.S. team can go ahead and get the gold medal. But Laker Tom will close this section on out with, again, the Kevin Love issue. I mean, he's there. He's not going to get much time. I understand that. And if you're actually playing Kevin Love in the basketball game, then it better be a blowout or you better be desperate.
You know, you have to remember that what they're trying to do, in theory, is to build a team that fills all of the – checks all of the boxes and provides you with all of the things that you need to – all of the weapons that you want to have a diverse roster that you can match up with any team. And with Bam as the only other – quote, center on the team, you need some size. And
but weren't there better choices at center?
Well, we don't, what we don't know is exactly who else was available and who else was willing to play. I mean, I think there was a point in time when we were really concerned that would we get a good starting lineup even? There were like only three or four guys who were willing to play, and everybody else coming off of the NBA playoffs was saying, man, I don't want to risk getting injured there and affect my career for a gold medal, and that's why you see a lot of young guys on there. You don't see the guys like LeBron who, or Kawhi or Paul George or any of the old-time superstars there that don't want to risk, you know, $100 million worth of salary possibly, you know, and a chance to win an NBA championship by going and playing for a gold medal, you know.
I think the Paul George injury back here at Las Vegas, you know, I think that was probably the case in point you're talking about right there.
It's, well, you know, it's just you get into those games and, you know, you get in it. I mean, just look at what happened to Kuzma last, you know, when he was just trying out for the team, and that set him back for half a year. It probably affected the $13 million 3-year contract that he got. And everybody can turn around and point to, whether it's, you know, Nerlens Noel or DeMarcus Cousins missing out on a huge payday just because of injuries. So I think they did a good job, and I think that they probably put together the best team they could. And when you come down to it, they balanced the team a little bit racially. They balanced it positionally. They balanced it with a guy who is probably the best outlet passer and one of the best rebounders on that team. He's the only stretch five on that team. He's a great passer and a great playmaker. He's a good scorer. He can't play defense anymore. But on the other hand, you know, we saw what happened with guys who you thought couldn't jump anymore and all of a sudden joined the Brooklyn Nets and are dunking the ball left and right. So you can't just, you know, a lot depends upon who you're playing for, and playing for the Cavaliers is surely not a venue that's going to give you much opportunity to shine. I think what may come out of this, it's almost as if this – was an opportunity by his agent to get him some publicity, to get him some playing time on national TV, because he sure didn't get it with the Cavaliers. And he's going to probably at some point in time, they're going to work on a buyout. They've already announced that he's not going to be a priority in the lineup going forward for next year. So that was like the Cavaliers saying, how much, what do you want to buy out? You know, what are you willing to accept? And then like Spencer said, he's probably going to jump up onto the bandwagon and hope to get a ring from the Nets. And it'd probably be a great fit on the Nets. Exactly what they need.
This is why we don't have Jamie Sweet heading up the U.S. Olympic team as far as it's concerned, because he has Andre Drummond over Kevin Love. I don't think he's feeling well. So we'll just go ahead and leave it at that.
Just for Tom.
Okay. All right. Well, again, I would have asked DeAndre Ayton. I would have asked a number of individuals above Kevin Love. I don't see – in this case, you're trying to pull out the best available players for your roster that want to commit to going to Tokyo and winning a championship, winning a gold medal for their country. And I just don't think after the attitude that he's shown, plus the injuries and all the things that he didn't do over the course of the past year, year and a half, I don't think it was important, no matter what past he has with the U.S. Olympic team. Although I know it's there and whatever.
Did they ask Patrick Beverley to play?
Well, he would have won the back pushing competition. That's for sure.
Well, I mean, so, you know, if good sportsmanship is only worth one game penalty.
I mean, I would have loved to see him there. He would have just, you know.
What is the NBA coming to, you know? That's.
Think Charles Barkley. Again, you think Charles Barkley was.
He'd go to shake his hand at the end of the game and he'd likely punch some guy out.
Yeah, exactly. So, you know, just for those kind of optics would have been great for America.
I think Pat's competing in jiu-jitsu actually this year.
So. Okay, yeah, fair enough.
Can we throw it?
Again, if there's a back push.
I mean, seriously, how many games. I have a question for everybody. How many games would have been a logical and smart penalty for Patrick Beverley? I say 10.
I say 5.
I say 10.
5, 10. Spencer?
One is a joke.
One is a joke.
One's a joke.
It's like saying sportsmanship doesn't count.
It's the equivalent of this.
Yeah.
What do you think, Spencer? 5, 10?
Maybe like 5 and an actual like financial penalty, even though I know he's going to, you know, he's making $13 million. I think he'd be fine, but
I'm sure Ballmer takes care of it. Patrick Beverley, you know, he's assessed a game, but still, getting back to the Olympics, it is going to happen soon enough.
Back onto that real quick. Do we also think that that's like a, well, it was only Chris Paul for the suspension?
You mean two guys who basically.
That's what they do.
Nobody wants on the other team, but they're great if they're, exactly. They're on your team.
Exactly.
I mean, I could take Chris Paul, but Patrick Beverley, if the Lakers signed Patrick Beverley, I would look at that as the equivalent of them signing Satan or, you know, or
hit the three. I'm cool.
Lucrezia Borgia or, you know, I mean, any of the villains from the past that you could put together.
We got Rajon Rondo.
That's right. Playoff Rondo, baby.
And I want to bring him up in a little bit.
Okay.
But we'll go from there. Again, Patrick Beverley. Yeah, Patrick Beverley aside, your thoughts on it out there, just let us know, Lakers Fast Break or at Lakerholics.com. Again, I thought it was too light of a suspension, only one game, and we'll see what happens. If Tom says, you don't like him if he's on another team, but if he's on yours, including the Lakers, you never know. You might get to warm up to him. We'll see.
He's one of the few players that don't even make that criteria for me.
Rondo, Morris, I mean, they're not exactly when they've been where I've been on.
No, or Boogie, same thing, you know, I mean, yeah. But, you know, to be honest, I really don't want those kind of guys on a team that I'm a fan of, to be honest.
Yeah. It was after the game. That's what's
I know. Yeah, that's really sad. That's, you know, and I have to say that, frankly, when I played, I was probably thought of by most other players as one of those guys.
Yes, yeah, so I knew. Here it comes. Something you already knew.
But they're, you know, but and I've said that many times about players, you know, but, you know, there's a point where you just reach a limit where you want to say, man, I don't even want to, you know, like if I was on the Clippers and one of my players did that at the end of that series, I wouldn't even want to be in the locker room with a guy like that, to be honest.
How much was made of LeBron not shaking hands versus this?
That's a different thing. That's a
walking
different
back
thing.
To the locker room.
I'm just saying.
Walking off of the court without shaking hands.
But that's what I'm saying.
I've done that with a team that I thought played dirty and
this should have
so
had
forth.
The same furor, right? This should have saved
the well, it that's should not, have been 20 times as much furor over it, but it's LeBron versus.
And it's a joke. It's
versus
a joke.
Pawn. It's the king versus a pawn.
What happened in a recent ruling by, I think, the local CIF in California, in your neck of the woods, Jamie, after the disgusting display by one school over another in regards to tortillas that were thrown, a very, very tasteless way to go ahead. And they won, the individuals that did that demonstration. And the CIF took the championship away and vacated it and put them on probation for 3 years, I think, to 2024.
Yeah. Imagine if they'd said your penalty is the first game next year.
Yeah, that would be ridiculous.
You have to forfeit the first game of next season.
It's interesting where you can see where we learn our lessons and where we don't. This is not going to help Patrick Beverley learn his lesson because it's just a little slap on the wrist. Yep. So, I mean, kudos to the CIF for making that decision, by the way, because I saw the video of it. I'm not shocked anymore by seeing those demonstrations because unfortunately we're at that point, but you know, I was still very happy to see that decision was made and that championship was taken away because of such disgusting demonstration that they.
I mean, what is the purpose of sports in our society?
Exactly. Truly.
I mean, it's about learning how to compete and do things the right way.
Yeah.
Play the game the right way. You know, when you disrespect the basketball gods and common civility, and then to almost be rewarded for it.
Yeah.
You know, with a slap on the wrist or just a finger wag, like Jamie says. Come on, you know,
but kudos to the CIF for taking that bold step and actually doing what's right and needed.
And Boo Silver.
Yes.
Yeah.
But
Adam Silver needs to step up.
Yes. Step up indeed. We'll be back with more of the Lakers Fast Break Podcast. Check out what's been going on with the Pop Culture Cosmo Show and the PCC Multiverse. My last movie that I saw in the theaters was The Last Skywalker. I know, condolences to me.
So. Wow, man. Right. I just had talked about that and I completely forgot that I saw that movie.
Yes.
It doesn't speak great things about it, I suppose.
That's the Pop Culture Cosmo Show.
And the PCC Multiverse.
Catch our shows on Worldwide Radio 7 days a week and wherever you get your podcasts. But guys, we're almost out of here. Want to thank so much Elton for giving us a thumbs up on Facebook. And thank you very much for watching and listening. This is the Lakers Fast Break. But before we head on out, guys, a couple quick items coming across. And before we get to Dennis Schroeder, which is always a source of consternation for us, Scottie Brooks has been rumored by New York Times, former ESPN reporter Mark Stein, one of the leading NBA reporters that's out there, of being interviewed by the Lakers for an assistant coaching position. Who knew Jason Kidd was so good that they need two assistant coaches to replace him? Spencer,
Don't know that he's the only one leaving.
Well, that's true, obviously. That's a sign that somebody else is on the way out as well. But Spencer, I want to hear your thoughts. Scottie Brooks, I asked last week, even though I'm still not 100% convinced like you guys tried to on David Fizdale with me, I'm still not 100% convinced. But again, I wasn't 100% convinced on Jason Kidd either. But what would he possibly bring to the team if that's the case and he's hired as an assistant coach?
When he coached the Thunder, they were good defensively, and they had like a pretty aggressive scheme that let Russell Westbrook and Paul George lead the league in steals and deflection. So that's one positive. As far as
was negative, he the coach of their finals run?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he was. As far as negatives, his offensive schemes are basically like give the ball to his star players and make them ISO. So. That's why he kind of empowered
like Frank's offensive schemes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly. So he's not going to solve your offensive problems. When he had Kevin Durant got the ball. Russell Westbrook got the ball. Bradley Beal got the ball this year. Russell Westbrook got the ball again this year in Washington. So there's not going to be much diversity in offensive schemes.
And that's the problem I have if he's hired. I think for me, you might want to look other places. In fact, try to be a little bit innovative. I know that Rajon Rondo, he still probably has a year on his contract, or it's a team option, something of that nature. If it was a team option and he is not renewed by the Clippers, I would say go after him for an associate head coaching job. Get him right there as that number two. I think I said it before last year, Tom. I know you're going to probably tell me otherwise, but I think what he brings, I think he's a head coach in the making. Another name for an offensive end. And this is totally out of the blue, and you guys are probably going to poo-poo on it, is Jamal Crawford, who's recently out of the league, but is someone who I think has a great amount of experience, and you know he doesn't play defense. One thing he can do is shoot the ball, and create a lot of offense for others. So just throwing that out there. I'm just saying, bring new ideas, bring new people to the forefront that might give fresh ideas instead of recycled ones like Fizdale and Brooks. You already have Lionel Hollins, who's an NBA head coach, or who was an NBA head coach. He's there. Phil Handy, he's there. Although, again, that could mean that they're both, or one or both, are on the way out. That they're the reason why they're talking to Scotty Brooks. But I want to hear your thoughts. Are you okay with going the route of all these ex head coaches coming over to the Lakers, or do you want to try something new?
Well, let me first answer the question that you asked Spencer, which is, what would Scotty Brooks bring? Possibly Russell Westbrook.
Russ.
That's the key thing that he could bring. And it's not a totally irresponsible thought to connect the dots and say that talking to Brooks could be a sign that the Lakers might be thinking of Westbrook. You know, I'm a big believer in the third star, and I'm a big believer in the insurance that a third star offers any of these teams from injury standpoint. You know, I mean, the Bucks survived to the finals because they had that third star in Jrue Holiday. As for bringing in all of these experienced head coaches, it would not be the way that I would go if I were the head coach there, for a lot of reasons. I think a lot of head coaches aren't very comfortable with having potential replacements sitting right next to them on the bench. One replacement, we're going to have two replacements sitting there if they brought Brooks in.
The thing that is
admirable about Frank Vogel is that he's not afraid of that. In fact, he embraces the fact that I want to have the wealth of experience, the ability to have a comment and an adjustment that's suggested by a coach because he's seen situations in his career that tell him that this is a good move to make. And he wants that diversity of opinion. He doesn't want to have an autocracy. He wants to have a consensus-driven coaching staff where everybody is able to participate. And it's one of the reasons why he said he doesn't believe in this splitting up of an offensive coordinator and a defensive coordinator. And he generally, you know, assigns his coaches to teams rather than to roles and so forth. And I understand that. It's the way he's always coached. It's the way he's always built his staffs. And I think it's one of the reasons why he's such a good fit for the Lakers. So I do like bringing in people like that. I think it shows a strong confidence that Frank Vogel has in his own ability and his own standing within the Lakers. I don't, like some of the people on Lakerholics.com, don't believe that Pelinka is bringing these guys in as possible takeovers in case Vogel gets fired or something like that. Like, I do believe that Vogel is going to get an extension probably before the season starts again. I think he's worthy of it. I don't see any need to look elsewhere for a coach. I would like them to bring in somebody with some offensive expertise, somebody who could really provide the same level of focus and concentration on offense that Frank and the other guys seem to bring on defense. But by the same token, you know, the Lakers are a defensive oriented organization at this point in time, and that ain't going to change. Their offense is a superstar driven offense, and that's not going to change. They're not going to put in an egalitarian Princeton offense where the shots are equally distributed among the players. It ain't gonna happen.
Well, Jamie, before we get to you, my friend, I think Spencer had an outside the box. I mean, I was thinking outside the box. I'm thinking fresh ideas. I'm thinking players that recently are retired or, you know, getting up there in years that the players can relate to, like LeBron and others, that maybe they would listen to more because they're more in tune with today's game. Bringing these recycled coaches over there, they obviously have their ideas and whatnot. I'm with you. I'm not about they're coming in because they're going to replace Vogel. We saw that already. That isn't going to happen unless Vogel really tanks it and LeBron really doesn't like what he has to say. If LeBron and AD do not like what he has to say, then he's gone. They go on a losing streak, then you'll hear all that stuff come out. And now obviously the seat gets warmer and whatnot. But I don't think they're being brought in intentionally to go ahead and, you know, just be there as replacements. I do think, though, that fresh blood, fresh new coaches, younger coaches, maybe college coaches, might be better apt to be bringing in. I think ex-players, recently retired players or ex-players would be, for me, the best way I would go. But, Jamie, what are your thoughts on this? Are you cool with Scottie Brooks coming in? Do you like that, or do you think another option would be there? I think Spencer's idea of Gilbert Arenas, let's go for him. You know, shotaholic. I just said as long as he brings the Shark Tank with him, that'd be great, but not the guns like Spencer was saying. So your thoughts on bringing something outside the box or traditional hand-me-down coach like we're seeing in the past couple weeks?
Oh, man, if we get Agent Zero, he's got to bring the hibachi, man. That's the only thing. We just need the hibachi. That's, hibachi.
There you go. See, all three of us bring something that different about Gilbert Arenas. I mentioned the Shark Tank. He mentioned the guns. You mentioned the hibachi.
Oh, that's one of my favorite things about Zero. You know, I like ex-players. I think what the Lakers really needed in the assistant coaching department is an X's and O's guys. I thought our biggest weakness last season was coming out of timeouts, coming out of ball stoppages, when you need a specific kind of – when you need something
– statistically, he was the worst basketball coach coming out of a timeout.
That's where we needed – that's what we need to shore up. So do any of these guys add to that capability? Scott Brooks? No. I don't know about players. I can't imagine that players are great X's and O's guys coming off the game.
Definitely not Jamal Crawford and –
yeah, these guys are gunners.
Jamal Crawford is his only message he could give that would be shoot every time you touch the ball, yeah. Man.
Gunners, same with Arenas. So, like, you know, let's replace Mike Penberthy with one of those guys. Because, like, let's talk about the lengthy shot making ability of Mike. We're done talking about Mike Penberthy. Right. Like, you know, so if that's the case, then I'm fine with that.
Those who can't do teach.
Yeah, but those who do aren't always the best teachers, as we've seen with Jordan and Johnson and all sorts of great players who made coaches. I mean, Jordan's case, I think he's finally stepped back from being as involved as an owner as maybe early on, and is like, maybe I should let the guys who, you know, who have PhDs and things, you know, nobody's going to question Michael Jordan's ability to put the ball on the floor and get to the rim, but, you know.
Don't talk to Scottie Pippen on that. That's another story altogether.
Any job that's not on TV anytime soon. So, you know, in that case, Scott Brooks doesn't move my needle very much. The only needle he moves is Russ. If Westbrook's coming to the Lakers, as is, you know, entirely possible, well, not likely, but it's possible, then you've got a guy who's a Russ whisperer, a guy who Russ trusts. They understand each other. They can have a conversation in-game, outside of the game, about what needs to happen.
And Russ is going to have to adjust, which is going to make that whisper very important.
That's what I'm saying. That's the only reason you bring him in. And, yeah. And that makes me feel like that has like a 5% or less more chance of happening. But, you know, I don't see the Lakers making that kind of move this summer. It'll be difficult for us to make that kind of move. It's not impossible, but it's going to be very, very difficult for us to pull off some sort of epic mega trade like that. You know, the fact that a Vogel extension didn't get done and that we haven't heard why that is makes me think it's as much Vogel as the Lakers, who he's maybe playing the shooter game. I'm worth more than whatever it is they're trying to. I mean, we know they tried to lowball Ty Lue, and Ty Lue went to become an assistant coach for the Clippers. So, you know, if this is one of the things that's kind of becoming infuriating about the modern Lakers, is they don't want to spend money in the areas that they can without penalty. You know, why are we pinching pennies on the training staff? Why are we pinching pennies on assistant coaches? If you want a guy, go get a guy. If Scott Brooks is that guy because of whatever, then I expect we'll hear about that.
Should be no reason. I mean, your organization's worth more than $4 billion.
Right. But Vogel's not going to leave the Lakers because of how much money they're going to pay him.
You say that now, but
no, know, it's not going to happen, man.
Well, listen,
negotiations were loose. Said no, I want a 5-year contract. Vogel said 3 years, no problem.
Right. Well,
how much money? No problem.
But that was before he won an NBA championship.
That's true, but
you know, you don't know how things change.
You're only as valuable as your last job, man.
Well, his last job.
If your last job ended poorly,
this job he's done pretty good. So that's what I'm saying. We don't know. We don't know what the holdup is. We don't know if it's the Lakers wanting a little bit more out of him. We don't know if it's Vogel saying, like, oh, another small contract. I think I'm worth a little bit more than this after I won an NBA Finals for you guys in the bubble. So we don't know, which makes all things possible. So I'm not willing to discredit or discount any of the possibilities, simply because we just don't have enough facts to know what's really going on behind the scenes. And with the Schroeder again.
Lack of facts should not hold you back from having an opinion.
Oh, you know, I grew up in an era that wasn't influenced by Trumpism. So incredibly, I'm highly dependent on facts, unfortunately. Yeah.
Need I digress on that one? But again, it is Scottie Brooks interviewing at the Lakers. He is not committed as of this airing, as of yet, but we'll see what happens in regards to Scottie Brooks becoming a member of the Lakers coaching staff. But before we head on out, guys, Dennis Schroeder's real worth. We talk about it all the time on this show. We've talked about it all season. But Spencer, I'm going to start with you. What's the great work that you're doing with Basketball University on Medium.com? And then also, what is Dennis Schroeder's real worth, and how much do you think he'll get on the open market?
Okay, I think Dennis Schroeder's real worth is like 15 to 17 million. I think I'm okay if you say like he's worth 20 million because he has bird rights, and we're, you know, because of bird rights, he's going to go to the negotiating table and say you have to pay up, right? So that inflates his value. But the reported 100 to 120 million is insane. And I don't know, looking around the league, the only team that could offer that and like pressure the Lakers into paying that much is the Knicks. And the Knicks, I think they've done some good moves recently, and they would undo every good move they did if they gave 120 million. I mean, that's insane, right? Then you're not even keeping Julius Randle. How are you going to pay RJ Barrett, like, his rookie extension? That's crazy. Hopefully the Lakers pay no more than the 4 years, 84, they offered before the trade deadline, and I guess we'll see.
And what are you doing at Basketball University?
Yeah, okay, so we're going to predict the NBA Finals. We just posted articles about Chris Paul and Trae Young because they've had two amazing postseason runs so far. And looking towards the offseason, I'll definitely be writing about the many free agents that could change the NBA landscape.
There you go right there. Please check out all great work that he's doing at medium.com/basketball-university. Laker Tom, the mastermind behind LakerHolics.com himself, your thoughts on Dennis Schroeder? What's his real worth? What do you think he'll get? And, of course, all the great stuff that you're doing at LakerHolics.com.
Well, I want to put a punch in first for Spencer's site, Basketball University. I discovered it a year ago on Medium, and I've been writing articles on Medium. And if you guys want to look at a young writer who really has a good feel for what's going on in the league and a couple of other excellent people there who know the game, the articles are long sometimes, which it amazes me how Spencer can organize and put together, you know, articles that are three or four times as long as some of my longest articles. But he does a terrific job there, and everybody ought to go there. Great place to get some different approaches to the sport rather than just the aggregators. You see a lot of original content here where people spend a lot of time and effort not only on the articles, but the photos to illustrate along with the article and so forth. So it's a great, great site to go to. And Spencer is a really talented writer. So I invite everybody to participate and be a participant there. As for the Lakers situation and
Dennis Schroeder,
you know, I just posted an article on LakerHolics.com of four trades that would enable the Lakers to take advantage of their own free agents. And one of the trades I have is with the Toronto Raptors, and it's a double sign and trade. It's if you recall that right before the trade deadline, the Lakers had offered Dennis Schroeder, KCP, for Kyle Lowry, and the Raptors had said, "No, you have to include THT. If you include THT, we'll make the deal." At the last minute, the Lakers said no, and I really mean the last minute. Gerald and I were doing a live show for the draft that day, which had gone like 4 hours.
For the trade deadline.
And it was a trade deadline. And it was right there at the last, there was like 30 seconds left when the news came out that the Lakers finally announced that, nope, we're not going to give up THT. I think that's a trade that in retrospect, both teams may regret today. But I know that the one thing that seems clear about it is I think there's an opportunity there it's the perfect opportunity for, number one, for the Lakers to sign and trade Dennis Schroeder so that they get another asset for which they can get value rather than letting him walk away for nothing. And I think it's an opportunity for Dennis Schroeder, maybe the only opportunity around for Dennis Schroeder to get the kind of payday that he wants. And so the reason
what do you think
is
the payday that is he going to get?
A payday for like 22, 23, 24 million a year for 4 years or 3 years. And the reason is that when you have two teams who are like you did with the Golden State Warriors when they made the Kevin Durant trade to the Nets, when you have two teams that don't have cap space, that have a valuable player that they want to sign and trade, and the two teams can agree upon it, then what they have to do is they have to get those players to agree to the sign and trade. And what gets the players to agree to the sign and trade? Money. More money than they would be willing to pay to their own guy. Now, the Raptors, for example, they're not going to give 3 years at $23 million or $22 million or $20 million to Kyle Lowry, who's 35 years old, because they're not in a win-now mode. But the Lakers would have no problem giving Kyle Lowry $23, $24 million for 3 years at 35, because they'll write off the last year. And the same thing, the Lakers would not pay Dennis Schroeder $22, $23 million for 3 years because he's not the right player. But if they're going to sign and trade him and send him to the Raptors, who are not a win-now team but a team that's going to want to build toward winning, those are the opportunities where you get guys overpaid. And those are the opportunities where you have to move a player who, you know, you can move those double sign and trades. Those are the types of moves that can happen there. And so I'm proposing in my thing that it's a straight trade. It's a straight double sign and trade. We re-sign Dennis to $22-23 million for 3 years. We ship him off to the Raptors. They do the same thing with Kyle Lowry, ship him to the Lakers. Both teams win. Both teams avoided losing a guy for nothing. And they both get a point guard. We get a point guard that we need to win now. They get a point guard who's only 27 years and has got some upside, hopefully. So I think that there's no reason why Dennis Schroeder is not going to end up with at least 3 years for $60 million. Now, I do think that Spencer is right that there's a chance that the Lakers sign him, because the problem the Lakers have is that we need to have a complete makeover, but we can only afford a tune-up and an oil change. And so what happens is that one way you do it is, okay, Schroeder's not the greatest point guard. He's not the greatest three-point shooter. He's a pretty good defender. He's pretty athletic. What you need to do then is you need to get rid of KCP and put a guy in there next to Schroeder who is also a playmaker. So you've got two guys that can distribute the ball, but this guy has to be somebody who can also shoot the ball, you know? I could, you know, for example, I could see if they didn't want Schroeder and we kept Schroeder, I could see a dual backcourt of Schroeder and Lowry. I mean, after all, the Raptors won a championship and their backcourt was two point guards, basically, Kyle Lowry and Van Vliet. And I've always loved the double point guard backcourts because I think having two playmakers really gives you a lot of versatility. So I think Schroeder's worth $80 million in 4 years or $60 million in 3 years. He had a bad playoff. That's going to hurt the value a little bit. But just like when you go out as a Laker fan and you're looking for somebody to trade for the Lakers, you're always looking at the best side of these guys. And, he's not going to get injured. And, his stroke is going to come back. And he won't have as many turnovers with the Lakers. He'll get better shots with LeBron. All it takes is one team to think that a player is worth what he's worth. What you're worth is what one team, the team that will pay you the most, will give you.
Wow. And he only said that in 10 minutes. But, Jamie, before we head on now.
I'm here. What?
Hello. Hello. Before we head on out, Laker Tom on one of his soapbox rants. But, Jamie Sweet, again, what are you doing with five things on your great column at LakerHolics.com and Dennis Schroeder's real worth, and what do you think he'll get?
What I think I'll get, I think he'll get close to what he's asking for, but what do I think he's worth? I think he's worth $15 million, and that's a hard thing. I wouldn't pay, if I was any GM of any team would not pay him 1 cent over $15 million. Once you get up into that $20 million category, you have to be as good as Malcolm Brogdon and the just-mentioned Fred VanVleet, and Schroeder's not as good as either of those guys. So that's where the discussion kind of ends for me. I would rather he not be a Laker. I think it's a 50-50. It's like 50-50 that he is a Laker next season, which would only then make him tradable at the trade deadline. You know, he'll probably get 20, 22 a year. I would rather it be like a hard 15 with like $5 to $7 million in incentives. Like, don't turn the ball over a grip of times. Don't go into the health and safety protocols two times in the season.
Just get like, vaccinated.
There's a whole list I could go down when it comes to Schroeder and his shortcomings. So, you know, he looked great when he was playing with AD and LeBron. So does KCP. So does Alex Caruso. That doesn't make you worth a lot of money, unfortunately, in professional sport. But we'll see. He'll get a big payday from somebody. I like Tom's sign and trades. Not necessarily that one. I'm not really on the Lowry train. If we're going to bring somebody back, I want it to be somebody under contract. I think the Lakers need to do all they can to not hard cap themselves for the regular season so that when it does come to the trading deadline, we're not bumping up against an artificial ceiling and that we can bring in more money than we can ship out. It's a fraction. It's not like, you know, what you can do in free agency, but to hit that ceiling means that you just have to either get rid of players that maybe are helpful for your team that you don't want it. And so that's my take on it. What I'm working on for Five Things is a much rosier, much happier Five Things than I posted. I don't want to make Tom mad. So it's going to
Tom was mad?
It's going to be sunshine and rainbow beams. Don't worry. It'll be a full-blown Care Bear stare.
Okay, fair enough indeed. But check it out at Five Things.
Glass half empty Five Things has hit. Now we're going to get the glass half full Five Things.
It's going to be the cup shall runneth over. Don't worry.
Oh, my gosh. I don't know which would be less believable then.
40 points.
Well, we need some positive things going for the Lakers.
It's LeBron getting healthier. That, to me, is positive as we can get.
Positive as we
can. That'll probably be one of the five things.
It is. Yes. Good health is definitely number three.
My five things are a new starting point guard, a new starting shooting guard, LeBron being healthy, AD being healthy, and a new starting center. Give me those five things.
So what, same things you've been asking for every season for like the last three seasons or so?
No, I was satisfied with Schroeder at the start of the year, and I was satisfied with KCP.
He was praising. Don't get me started. We can just go back in the time. You talk about me going back on an NBA Finals prediction. We'll go back in time and talk about
that. We were 21-6 until the injury started to hit.
Yeah,
everybody on planet Earth was effusive. Go back and read some of the some of the articles about how the Lakers like stole free agency from the NBA. Yep.
Yes.
Hey, everybody thought we did.
Everybody
thought it's on record that I said I didn't think that chasm was as big as
everybody with an open mind was in
everybody. The Lakers but then there's me who was smart enough to see. But anyways, I saw the real truth. But myself, I think I'm in agreement with Spencer and Jamie. 15 to 17 is the most I would pay him. If it goes above that, then you're looking to do what Laker Tom is suggesting, and that's a sign and trade, whether it's for Toronto's Kyle Lowry, whether it's for Malcolm Brogdon, who have you, you know, it's just that's something I think has to be negotiated upon. But again, I think what he will get, he'll probably get close to 26. I think he'll get 26 a year in that range. I think he'll get above the $100 million he'll be asking for. He won't get to 120, but I think he'll get above 100 or right at 100. I think that's probably what I'm looking at for him. Because there will be a buyer's market for him. I think there's going to be a little bit of a bidding war. Once some of these point guards find spots, and if he's still out there, I think if there's more than one team that still needs a point guard that's going to be bidding, I think there's going to be a little bit of interplay there. But
I don't think he'll get as long a term. I don't think he'll get a four-year term. You're not going to pay him what he wants and give him as long a contract as you want. The contracts today are all starting to be shorter than they used to be.
Well, we'll see what happens, whether it's a 3, 4, or 5 year deal. I think he still will try to get a 4 year deal. I think he may be successful in that. Depends on the marketplace at the time he goes out. So we'll see what happens there. But guys, it's been great talking to each and every one of you, everyone out there that watched and listened. Hope you have a fantastic or have had a fantastic 4th of July weekend. Please stay safe. Please enjoy your fireworks. Glad we didn't have any fireworks here for the Lakers fast break, as Jamie has already left us. But guys, it's been great talking to each and every one of you. Wishing you all the best. Catch us at Lakers Fast Break, LakersFastBreak@yahoo.com. If you have any questions, we'll be back on Friday for another great show. Thursday night for our taping right here on Facebook at Lakers Fast Break. But we truly appreciate everybody watching and listening. Once again, big shout out to Dash Radio, where we're on every Sunday morning. Also, a friend of the Hoopheads Podcast Network. And we truly appreciate everybody watching and listening. Hope everyone has had a great 4th of July. And we'll see you on Friday with an update on the NBA Finals and so much more right here at the Lakers Fast Break Podcast.